Next, let's look at the psychopathology of being held hostage. According to Hillman, the taking of hostages has become an unfortunate but familiar part of contemporary social politics and of the contemporary socio-political climate, both nationally and internationally. There are few scientific studies of the psychology of the hostage experience and a reflection of the conditions until recent times. Psychological studies of stress usually have focused on prisoners of war and concentration camp victims. These studies have emphasized the length of time in captivity, physical injury, and nutritional problems as these conditioned variables act as stressors in the subsequent development of psychiatric symptoms. The hostage experience differs from either prisoner of war or concentration camp experiences in several ways. Contemporary first-hand accounts by hostages indicate that the ordeal of being held hostage, even for a relatively short period of time, can have profound psychological consequences, as you know. The psychopathology of the hostage experience, for example, in the case of a skyjacking, is important in understanding hostage behavior and in PTSD treatment considerations. To further explain PTSD resulting from terrorism and other traumas, let us examine the psychological state of 14 correctional officers held hostage during the worst prison riot in U.S. history. As this case study in terrorism is detailed, ask yourself, if one of the hostages were to become my patient or my client, what specific interventions would I use? How would these interventions differ or be the same from interventions I have used with other victims of violent crimes I have treated? What would my body language be like, for example? As you listen to this case study, also ask yourself what ethical issues might arise. To further explain PTSD resulting from terrorism and other traumas, we will examine three areas. Number one, the hostage's feelings of helplessness, number two, existential fear, and number three, sensory input overload. The purpose is to give you insights into the hostage experience. 17 officers in all were captured at a penitentiary in New Mexico near Santa Fe. The riot had progressed quickly. In 22 minutes, inmates gained control of the penitentiary. For the next 36 hours, they rioted and killed 33 fellow inmates, and 9 others were seriously injured. The correction officers examined were all Spanish Americans who ranged in age from 18 to 54 years. Let's examine the psychological state of the correctional officers who felt a combination of feeling helpless, existential fear, and sensory input overload. Let's look at these three more specifically first in terms of the DSM classification of PTSD. Regarding helplessness, as you know, according to the DSM, a criteria for PTSD is the patient has experienced or witnessed or was confronted with an unusually traumatic event that has both of the following elements. The event involved actual or threatened death, and secondly, the patient feels intense fear, horror, or helplessness. Total and profound helplessness was felt by all the hostages in the penitentiary. These feelings were reinforced in certain cases when the guards were bound hand and foot and blindfolded. They quickly learned that there was nothing they could do. If they complained in any way, they were bound more tightly or beaten severely. Those who were blindfolded had no way of knowing when or from where the next assault would be coming. The feeling of helplessness was emphasized by their separation from their fellow officers. One guard thought of escape during his first hour of captivity, but when he heard some inmates kill another inmate in the cell adjacent to where he was being held, he gave up the idea in total hopelessness. Two guards who were beaten earlier during their captivity stated the feeling of helplessness came to them almost immediately. One guard who remained in hiding throughout the riot felt trapped and helpless when he heard the inmates searching for him. None of the officers could offer any resistance. However, being totally helpless had some positive aspects. Even under extreme provocation and abuse, the guards did not reveal certain information. Now the reason is they recognized that doing so would make no difference in their fate. One hostage, who was severely beaten, emphasized that he tried to keep calm. At times he thought he was lucky that he was being hit rather than being stabbed. He took all the blows and realized that he could not fight back, so he tried to remain calm. As you know, in skyjackings connected with and following September 11th, the helplessness of many passengers has been replaced by individual acts of heroism. To further explain PTSD resulting from terrorism and other traumas, the second psychological state experienced by the hostages is that of fear. Ockberg has labeled the fear experienced by the hostages in such a way as to distinguish it from ordinary fear, by calling it existential fear. The inference is the hostages were afraid of losing their existence. As you know, according to the DSM, one criteria for PTSD, the patient repeatedly relives the event. Myself and my colleagues have found that the more intense the fear reaction, the greater the chance that intrusive recollections through thoughts and images will occur. Here's an example of the thoughts and images the hostages at the penitentiary experienced. The guards were certain that they would be killed. They thought of ways in which the convicts would kill them. They pictured themselves being found dead after the riot was over. One guard described how he was hit and felt his head throbbing with pain. He thought he was going to die. He stated, "The inmates were all over, all around me, talking and screaming." A few of the hostages were held by less violent inmates who attempted actually to protect them. The inmates themselves became afraid too and gave the hostages clubs. They told them, "If we have to bump heads, we'll need your help." A new wave of existential fear for existence engulfed both the hostages and their inmate guards. Existential fear may be a good descriptor for the feelings experienced by passengers on a skyjacked plane. Take a minute now to recall a PTSD patient which you have treated. Ask yourself, what was the fear component of their syndrome, and how did the extent of their fear affect their treatment? Would the term existential fear apply to this patient? Thirdly, let's look at sensory input overload that occurred in the traumatic events of this hostage situation. The guards were held in a setting with a constant and high sensory input. The air was foul with smoke and water from broken pipes flooded the floors. The winter chill came in through broken windows. Masked and armed convicts traveled in groups, issuing threats to all that came in their path. There was the continual noise from the destruction of the penitentiary, and the guards could hear the screams of inmates. None of the guards became accustomed to this sensory overload. Each scream of terror or noise of destruction produced a new startle reaction and a wave of existential fear. The vivid scene during the time the officers were held hostage would come back after their release. As you know, this is in keeping with the PTSD criteria. When any association with the riot would occur, this would bring back thoughts and feelings experienced inside the penitentiary. In regard to the DSM psychological reaction criteria, during their capture, the guards reported a variety of physical reactions to their state of fear and helplessness. Most all experienced dry mouth and insomnia. Most were unaware even of their need for sleep. None were hungry. Those who were physically harmed reported that their bodies felt numb. As you know, one of the DSM criteria is to feel detached, and this detachment process appears to have been starting even during the traumatic event. Also regarding sensory input overload, all the hostages described their mental condition as dazed or in a state of shock. While they were being rescued, two older guards who knew the prison well did not know how they got out. Fear and helplessness produced a pseudo-rational state whereby the hostages responded unquestioningly to any command. As an example, one hostage who was released during the riot turned around and almost re-entered the penitentiary when an officer on the outside told him to go back. Question: what produces a pseudo-rational state whereby the hostage responds unquestioningly to any command?